Okay, sorry.
That's fine.
Welcome to the Bubbles Brunchcast with your hosts, Aaron and Kayla.
Hello, hello. Thank you for joining us today here on Bubbles Brunchcast. I'm your host, Aaron Ambergy.
And Kayla Maynard.
And today we have a very special guest, Tom. I didn't get your last name, Tom.
It's Mulvaney, M-U-L-V-A-N-E-Y.
Thank you, Tom. And he's here to talk about one of our favorite topics to go
travel.
Over. Yes, travel. Yay. So we'll just jump right into it. How can you tell me about yourself, Tom?
Well, I've lived here in Lexington area for almost 40 years now and had never traveled outside the country other than Mexico and Canada, just barely across the borders, until about 1996. And at that time, the one of the organizations I belonged to contacted me about conducting an auction on a cruise ship.
Ooh.
I did some auctioneer work for many years in the rare coin business. And this organization is the National Organization for Coin Collectors, the American Numismatic Association. They're based in Colorado Springs. I've been a member for over 50 years. And they asked me in 1996 if I would like to go on a cruise ship in the Caribbean and conduct a coin auction. And they had gotten a whole bunch of people that were going to come on this cruise. And I said, sure. So I got a free cruise out of it. My wife found out that I was going on a cruise, and she says, not without me. So
I would say the same thing.
So I had to arrange to get her involved. And, of course, I had to pay for her part of it. But it was a seven-day cruise, I believe, out of Fort Lauderdale on Princess. And I'll tell you, it hooked us, that first cruise. We went to, you know, St. Thomas and St. Martin, the usual Caribbean islands. And after that cruise, we just said, we got to do this again. Well, lo and behold, the following year, 1997 or 8, I forget, they asked me again if I would come do another one. And I said, sure. And she says, well, you're taking me and the two boys. We had two boys at the time that were about 10 and 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to take the whole family. And we went to Alaska this time. It was an Alaskan cruise. And that really hooked us. So from then on, just about every year on average, we've done at least one or two cruises, mostly on Princess. We've done a few Royal Caribbeans, but you get hooked on one cruise line, the perks just get so much better the longer you cruise with one company. And I've been on 35 Princess cruises.
Wow.
And you just can't say no to when they fill your refrigerator and your cabin up with liquor and soft drinks and stuff like that. And you get free laundry.
Yeah.
Which is nice. You don't have to pack as much.
Yeah.
And as I've gotten older, I'm 75 now, as I've gotten older, I don't like carrying a whole lot of stuff. So I just take the bare minimum. We send the laundry out every day or every other day. And, you know, it really makes it easier. And just a great perk. After 15 cruises, you become what they call elite.
Mm-hmm.
So I am an elite passenger with Princess. My wife actually has cruised a few more times than I have. She and her sister have gone on a few that I did not go on because I couldn't get away. But Princess has been our main cruise line. We've done a few Royal Caribbeans, and they're a very good operation as well. In fact, I'll be doing a Royal Caribbean in this coming January.
Where are you going?
We're going to do, I think it's 8 days out of Port Canaveral,
mm-hmm.
Which is the first time we've cruised out of Port Canaveral. We're going to one island we've not been to before, and that's St. Croix. We've been to St. Thomas and St. John's, but not to St. Croix. So my wife says, oh, we got to do St. Croix. And we're also going to hit two countries that we can add to my list of 46 over there, and they will be Haiti and the Dominican Republic. I've not been to either of those two countries before. So they'll be in this 8-day cruise coming up in January.
That's awesome. We did a cruise in July. We did went to the Dominican Republic, St. Thomas, British Virgin Islands, and what was the other one?
I've not been to British Virgin Islands.
British Virgin Islands, St. Thomas.
Aaron's been converted for life.
Yes, and now I'm a cruise person. There was one more. My brain is just mush today. I'm sorry. But now, but next year for this, it was our 10-year anniversary. My husband and I, so we took a cruise to celebrate. And, oh, the Bahamas. Duh. That was the other country. And I'm like, well, I love this. This is great. I'm a cruise person now. And so by default, he's a cruise person.
Well, yeah. It's such an easy way to see a lot of the world, and it really does not cost a lot of money to cruise, mm-mm, especially if you know what you're doing as far as booking a cruise and looking for the deals. And the longer you cruise with one line, they send you specials, mm-hmm, and some of them are just incredible. I mean, we were on a cruise one time, a five-day Princess cruise in the Caribbean. And on the day before the end of the cruise, it was just a little five-day cruise, the captain comes on the air and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, I'm happy to announce that corporate offices of Princess is offering everybody on this cruise another free five-day cruise, a free one." And they said that they do that once a year. They just pick a cruise out, and everybody on that cruise gets a free cruise of that comparable value. So we came back about a month later on the same ship and did a little different itinerary in the Caribbean, and 5 days of free cruising.
That's amazing.
But that doesn't happen every day.
Sure. So is Princess your favorite cruise line?
Yes. It's the one we've been with the most, and it's hard to give up, you know, all the perks you get, mm-hmm, after you reach that elite level. You get your laundry done, you get the fridge stocked and with booze and beer and, mm-hmm, soft drinks and stuff like that. And there's a few other perks in there as well.
That's awesome. Yeah, we're going on this July. So my husband works at Toyota,
mm-hmm,
and they get a shutdown every July. So we have to plan around shutdown. But we're going on Carnival.
Okay.
To Grand Cayman, Cozumel, and Jamaica.
Yeah, I like all of those places except Jamaica.
You didn't care for Jamaica? Nah,
Jamaica's a little rough.
Yeah.
you don't want to go wandering on your own unless you know what you're doing there. I've been to Montego Bay, and mm-hmm, you come off the boat and you're greeted with people with machine guns at their customs point.
Oh, no.
And it just felt scary there. But Cayman Islands, a beautiful place. And the same thing for Cozumel. Love both of those places.
Cool. Well, we're going to, I think, Ocho's Rios?
I've been to Ocho Rios. And we've taken tours out of there, and they were all very nice. We did one tour that saw a lot of the natural parks and, mm-hmm, mountains and stuff there in Jamaica, and that was very nice. But if you're an organized tour, no problem. I just would not wander in places you're not familiar with.
Good to know.
That's my suggestion.
I mean, it is a third world country.
That's my suggestion.
So.
But friendly people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody down in the Caribbean is very friendly.
Yeah, I hadn't encountered one rude person when we were there.
No.
But, listen, I get lost in a paper bag.
Same.
Different countries. I would not wander.
You organize a tour, or you go on an excursion, or you get in the cab and say, "Take me to the beach." That's what we did.
Yeah, please. Yeah,
you can do that. If you're a beach person, you can definitely do that.
That's what we did.
And there's a lot of beaches around Ocho Rios.
I
shouldn't be a beach person with how much I burn, but I am.
Yes. Yes, when we went to Charleston, Kayla burned up like a pork chop. I was like, "Kayla, you need a rash guard."
They won.
And
it wasn't even at the beach. It was on the bikes in the street. Like, not even on the water.
So what's your favorite place you visited?
I think if I had to pick one place that I'll never forget was Bruges, Belgium.
Oh, okay.
We were on a tour over there, and you dock there on the North Sea of Belgium, and Bruges is about 5 miles inland. And we took a tour, and Bruges has a nickname, the canal system they have in Italy. It's all canals, mm-hmm, basically, is what I'm trying to get to, and I just can't remember the name of the place in Italy. But it's just beautiful, old, 1,200, 1,400-year buildings in perfect condition. I've got pictures here I can show you later of some of the things in Bruges. But just a beautiful city. and very clean. Most of the European countries that I've been to have been absolutely immaculate. The Netherlands, Germany, France, you know, around Paris area was very nice. I mean, just about everywhere. And we love England, the British Isles as well. So mm-hmm. I highly recommend Europe and Rome. Spent a couple of trips in Rome, and we were very lucky there. We were able to get the same tour guide. We hired a private tour guide two times. And this guy's name was Luca. Mm. And this guy, big Luca, and he worked for a company called Roman Limo. And he had a big Mercedes limo that he took us around Italy, and we told him what we wanted to see in Rome. Took us to the Vatican. He knew all the back doors, how to get into stuff and avoid the lines and avoid the crowds. And boy, we were lucky with this guy. And we wanted to go again about 5 years later with our oldest son, or youngest son, I should say. And we called over to Roman Limo. Is Luca still work? Oh, yeah, Luca's still here. And we booked Luca again. So we're getting off the cruise ship in Rome, and there's a guy standing there with our last name waiting for us. And I go up to him. I say, you Luca with Roman Limo? Yeah, yeah. He sounded right, but he didn't look right. He had lost 200 pounds.
Oh, wow.
In the 5 years that we had seen him, but sounded the same. But it was the same Luca.
You didn't recognize him?
Didn't recognize him at all. And he'd lost all this weight. And we spent a day going all around Rome, places that we specifically asked for. And you might ask what that cost us. I think it was somewhere around 360 euros. But for pick you up at your hotel or your ship and then take you back to your mm-hmm. hotel at night, 12-hour day, I thought it was a pretty good value for three people. And he takes mm-hmm. you to restaurants at lunchtime that are all owned, I'm sure, by his buddies. But they were great places mm-hmm. That we ate. And just a nice way to go to see Rome when you only have a day or two to do it.
So you've cruised out of Europe as well?
We have cruised out of Europe, primarily out of Southampton, England, which is near London. Mm-hmm. And we've done transoceanic cruises out of there, where you might visit two or three European countries and then go across the ocean back to Fort Lauderdale. I love transatlantic cruises, and they're usually very inexpensive. They're longer, mm-hmm. but you have like 8 days at sea. Mm-hmm. And I love being at sea. There's so
you
many
do?
Yeah, I love it.
See, some people get like, they're like, oh, I can't do that. It's too claustrophobic. Kayla, say me.
Kayla's got her finger on her nose like, me.
No. There's so many things to do on the ship and have entertainment. And my wife and I have gotten into trivia, and we play trivia. And we always find a group of people that we play with for the whole cruise. And two or three times a day, you've got trivia matches, and the prizes are ridiculously cheap stuff. But
Still, it's fun.
We just love doing it.
Yeah.
And going across the ocean, we got all these trivia contests. And, you know, you go into one of the lounges at 2 o'clock because they're going to have trivia, you know, and the bartenders get to know you even in that short time. And they've got your table set up with your Diet Coke waiting for you. I was amazed at that. And, you know, it's just a very nice, relaxing, you don't have to do anything. Once you're on that ship and your luggage is in your room, you don't have to do anything for 8 or 9 days or whatever. Longest cruise we've taken, I think, is about 18 days. And that's too long for my wife, but I could do around the world for 80 days.
Okay. Where'd you go for the 18 days?
It was probably one of the transoceanic cruises where you did 4 or 5 stops in Europe and then, you know, cross the ocean and stop in the Azores. We've been there about 4 or 5 times in Bermuda.
Yeah.
And then into Fort Lauderdale usually.
Okay. That's neat. So what port do you usually sail out of?
Usually Fort Lauderdale, Port Everglades.
Is that better or worse, the same as Port of Miami?
I've never been out of Miami.
Oh, okay.
I've heard Miami's a little difficult and crowded and cramped, and Fort Lauderdale or Port Everglades, we've never had a problem. We usually drive down there, which I know sounds pretty crazy, but we can get there in a couple days, usually stop in the Orlando area and do a little visiting, mm-hmm. and then we'll go down to Port Everglades, and we park our car at an off-site parking lot by the airport. It's called Park and Go or Park and Fly or something like that, mm-hmm. and they will actually take you over to the cruise port.
Oh, okay. So you don't have to get an Uber or anything?
Right. Nope. They will take you over there. and they charge you maybe $10 a day to park your car. Mm-hmm. If you park right by the port, it's going to be like $20 a day. So it's about half as much money. A little tip there for everyone.
Yeah.
But you have to make your reservation in advance that you're coming in on a certain day, and you'll be there for how long, and just go up and check in the place and park your car, and they load you on a bus into your luggage and take you over the ship. And once you get off that bus, you don't touch your luggage because they put it on the ship and into your room for you.
Yes.
So it's just very, very convenient out of Port Everglades. We've also cruised out of Los Angeles on West Coast cruises, Hawaiian cruises, Mexico, Cozumel, or not Cozumel, Cabo St. Lucas, mm-hmm. Puerto Vallarta, down that way. We've done that area. In fact, I'm going on a cruise in April. April the 3rd or 4th, I think, is when the big event happens. But there's going to be a total eclipse of the sun.
Ooh.
And it's going to come up here through Kentucky. But I think the totality will be over around Indianapolis and Richmond, Indiana, just a little bit northwest of here. But it'll start down there off the Pacific coast of Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to find a place in the ship right under it and see the totality
of
the eclipse. Now, when they advertised that cruise about a year and a half ago, my wife got right on it.
Yeah.
5 days later, it was sold out. So you can't get on that cruise right now, at least on Princess.
I can imagine.
But I imagine other cruise lines will be out there doing the same thing.
So you've been on Princess and Royal Caribbean. Any other cruise lines?
Just those two.
Just those two. Okay. And then the transatlantic, that's like one way. So that it starts in Europe or Florida.
Right.
And then travels all, just like it sounds, all the way across the Atlantic.
Right. One time we went out of Port Everglades and we went to the Azores, and then to Ireland, then to England, then over to France, Germany, Hamburg. And mm-hmm. from Hamburg, we went to Copenhagen, Denmark, and flew back from Copenhagen. And that was probably about the 18-day cruise. That was a long one.
That sounds fun, though.
But we flew back to Detroit, and then Detroit to Lexington. So mm-hmm. it was all very convenient, and everything was on schedule, and had a great time.
That's amazing. I just love travel. So this is fun. This is like right up my alley. And Kayla's too.
I'd like to like travel more. I'd like to be able to actually do it a little more.
You just got to start, Kayla.
I know.
You just got to pull the trigger.
And you know, people, when they hear that I've been to all these countries and I've cruised all these different itineraries and so forth, they say, boy, you must be rich. You don't have to be rich.
You don't.
You just have to find deals. Now, you know, being retired and, you know, my wife and I save while we were growing up with the kids and so forth, always had money invested in retirement funds and stuff. So it's paid off. It really has. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have no problem doing this now. But we figure on average, you can probably find cruises, good cruises, for less than $100 a day per person.
And that includes your food.
Includes all your food, entertainment on the ship. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're a big drinker, if you're a big drinker, you're going to have a big bar bill on top of that.
Well, you can get the drink package.
Well, the drink packages have gotten really expensive. They're like $69, $79 a day now.
Yeah.
And, if you have a 10-day cruise, that's, you know, $700 just for your booze package.
Yeah.
When we first started, you could get a Coke package, which I drink Diet Coke by the gallons. you could get a Coke package for like $5 a day. And I used to buy that. Well, now it's not worth doing it because now they want like $15 or $20 for that package. And you can buy individual Cokes for about $2.50 or $3 on the ship. So I haven't been buying the packages lately. They're just not cost effective. Plus, they stock our refrigerator with a lot of Diet Coke. So, you know, since I'm an elite passenger.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can spend a lot of extra money. And when you get into different ports, you can spend a lot of money on itinerary, destinations and, mm-hmm. and day trips and things like that. And we do some of that, but we sometimes just stay on the ship or we'll just get off and walk around the local town that we're in.
Mm-hmm. It's fun. We didn't book any excursions for our last cruise and, it was our first cruise, but we just would like take a cab ride to the beach or in the Dominican, we stayed in port because they said it can get a little dicey in the Dominican. So
some countries you have to be careful.
So we, and they had a lazy river in the port. It was really nice.
Yep.
and shops and restaurants.
Oh, shopping. This sweatshirt that I have on here.
Yeah.
See where I got it? Bar Harbor, Maine.
Yeah, I see it.
We were on a fall foliage cruise. I think we flew to Quebec City.
Ooh.
In Quebec, and they speak nothing but French up there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard. You go into McDonald's, and the board's all in French, and I don't know French so well. I know a little Spanish, but not French.
Right.
But we managed, and we took a cruise out of there. It was on Princess, and went up the St. Lawrence Seaway and worked our way out into the Atlantic. We stopped in Prince Edward Island and, you know, Nova Scotia and New Brunswick and places like that, and worked our way down the east coast of the United States and stopped in Bar Harbor, Maine, which is a beautiful, beautiful venue. And basically, it's a big shopping city. You mm-hmm. know, go in there and shop. And it was toward the end, mid part of October, I guess, fall foliage, and a lot of the shops were closing down for the winter. And I walked into this one store, and they had sweatshirts. Hooded sweatshirts, nice, thick sweatshirts, $12.
Ooh.
So I should have bought a half dozen of them, but I've had this one now for about 5 years.
Nice.
And it's nice and warm. I'm always cold, and I just love this sweatshirt. Same. So you can buy good deals, you know, shopping.
Yeah. We got my ring. I got an updated wedding ring, a diamond band in St. Thomas.
Yeah, St. Thomas is a good jewelry place.
Yeah,
I'm not into jewelry, neither is my wife, but a lot of people cruise just for the jewelry deals, and St. Thomas is probably right up there at the top for best opportunities.
Yeah, and then
me making a note over here.
Yeah.
Shiny things in St. Thomas.
Yep.
And then I don't have it on now, but I got my mom got me a necklace. She sent me some money on Venmo and said, get yourself some jewelry while you're in the Dominican. And so, for your birthday. So I said, okay. So I got a little crab, a necklace, a pendant.
And there's all kinds of deals on the ship, too.
Oh, yeah.
Princess buddies up with one of the big jewelry companies, Effie, mm-hmm. Effie Jewelry. And they've got all kinds of deals on there during the cruise, if you're into that. But my wife and I don't usually spend a whole lot of money unless if it's, you know, T-shirts for $5 or some closeout, yeah. blowout deals.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fun, though. So what tips do you have for people who maybe want to start traveling?
Well, if you're not real savvy with the internet, fortunately my wife is, and she gets on there almost every day just looking for deals. And sometimes, you know, the deals are not like they're advertised, but not in reality the way that they're advertised, so you got to be careful. Get with a reputable travel agent, I think, is a good suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
We've booked a couple of the cruises through AAA because they had a special going on Princess Cruises that month. And, you know, we got a good price and good deal and,
mm-hmm.
and so forth. But after you get used to the game, know the ropes, you can do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
My wife has I call it her boyfriend, who works for Princess. But he's kind of like an agent. But he lives out in California where their headquarters is located. And if she ever has a problem or sees something on our itinerary that gets messed up, she'll just call her boyfriend up and he'll take care of it. But I think that's probably one of the perks you get when you get to be an elite.
Yeah.
You get to call a person, the same person every time who knows you, knows what you do and what you like. And we've never had any problems, you know, once we've gotten to this elite level.
So have you ever had maybe a language barrier in your travels?
In most of Europe, absolutely not.
Okay.
In fact, a little funny story. When we went to Rome the first time I met Big Luca, I asked him, his English was just perfect. I said, Luca, how many languages can you speak? And he said, 7. And a lot of the Europeans are multilingual.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what is the hardest language? Because I've always heard English is hard for foreigners to learn, because there's so many irregular vowels and everything's so different.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the most difficult languages for him were French and German.
Okay.
And I was a little surprised at that. And I said, well, why French and German? He says, because if you mispronounce something or get the accent wrong, they're offended.
So, oh, yeah.
He says, but the Americans, he says, you mispronounce something, they don't care. They understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
But I've not had any problems with language, except maybe the first time we went to Lisbon, Portugal. And it seemed like they just wanted to speak Portuguese to you.
Sure.
And you know, we had a little difficulty there, but other than that, no problem. Germany, no problem. Belgium, Netherlands, no problem. My wife says the most difficult place to understand over there is in Scotland, and they speak English.
They speak English, yeah.
But the accents, are so thick. But, you know, I was able to understand. And, you know, you listen to it a lot. And plus, you know, I am a ham radio operator, so I talk to a lot of people in foreign countries, and you kind of get used to the accents and so forth, and
sure.
That has helped a lot.
Yeah. We went to Europe a few years ago. We went to London for the week, and we took the Channel down to Paris for the day.
I've never done that.
It's fun. It's only like a two-hour train ride. It's not bad at all.
We love trains.
Every time you say Channel, my whole body goes,
I was scared, because I was like, it's under the ocean? A train under the ocean? I don't understand.
English Channel, I think.
Yeah, under the English Channel. Yeah, you're right. Sorry. And... I was trying to learn French to speak it there. So I would be like, bonjour. And they go, how can I help you, madam?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
Yeah. They're not very patient. Funny story in France. There's two different places we've primarily been to in France, the southern coast and the northern coast, the Normandy coast. And up in the Normandy coast, they love English and the English people because of World War II and, you know, how we saved them there in the Battle of Normandy.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a tour guide up in Normandy that she was a French lady, but she just loved the English and American people so much. And you go to the southern part of France, and it's, they don't hate you, but it's different. You feel different down there. But I had no problem in either place. We went to Paris one day out of Le Havre. We had docked at Le Havre, and it's about a two-hour bus drive into Paris. And we were going to go see Notre Dame Cathedral before it burned.
Yeah.
And a few of the other sites, the Eiffel Tower and so forth. And we get about halfway there, and the tour guide on the bus says, now we're going to stop at this restrooms up here at this Shell station on the freeway. So she says, it's a real big facility, but it's going to be really busy in the ladies' rooms. So ladies, don't be afraid. Use the men's rooms. And, you know, everybody was a little shocked. She says, in France, we do things a little differently here. So this is just a little funny story if it happens to you. But we get to this place, and the lines out of the ladies' rooms are just all over the place. And, you know, my wife's waiting in line, and I'm long done. And I said, go in the men's room. And a lot of ladies were in there. I mean, I couldn't believe it, but it was really true. And she went in there, got in and out pretty quick. So, you know, don't be afraid to do that in France.
Interesting.
So just a little tip for you ladies, at least on that Shell station between Le Havre and Paris, that it's commonly done. We've seen it.
Yeah. There's always a line at the ladies' room, just about.
Like, always. It's ridiculous.
Like, we're never going to progress as a society until we put more stalls in the ladies' room. But
it's always a problem. We should know.
Yeah. I'm guessing you didn't cruise to all these places on your list.
Yeah, I've been to all of those places.
No, cruise. You didn't cruise to them? Did you, like...
Yeah, they've all been cruised to.
They've all been cruised to?
Mm-hmm.
Even, oh, yeah. Okay. Okay, I was expecting
that. We just did a cruise a couple months ago to Greenland.
From?
New York City.
How long was that?
That was a 16-day cruise, as I recall.
Wow.
And we went this was a very interesting cruise. You know, why would you want to go to Greenland? And my answer is, because it's there and I've not been there before.
Right?
So,
perfect answer.
And it was not
pretty.
It was not very expensive. Not really pretty, but I'll tell you. We got left out of Brooklyn, New York, and... went up to Halifax, Nova Scotia. We've been to many times. Beautiful city. And then we went over to eastern part of Nova Scotia, Sydney. Very nice city there.
Mm-hmm.
And then from Sydney, I think we went directly toward Greenland, another 2 or 3 days just to get there, and landed at Nuuk, N-U-U-K. That's the capital of Greenland.
Mm-hmm.
Population about 25,000. There's not a tree in the city or anywhere in Greenland that I saw. It's all rocks. And you can see snow-capped mountains off in the distance. But most of Greenland is covered with snow and ice. But along the coastlines, it's not. But Nook is a very functioning city, has TV and radio. They have a university there. We had a tour that was given by a college girl about 20 years old, and she spoke very good English. There's a bunch of different languages up there. There's some native Indian type languages. A lot of them speak Danish because Greenland used to be a Danish colony. It's mm-hmm. still kind of connected to Denmark, but it's kind of independent. And just saw how they all live, mostly in communal type homes, apartment buildings. And the big thing is tourism and fishing. And a lot of activity there in Nook. I was surprised. So then we took another couple stops that I didn't even bother to get off the boat. Very small little villages of about 800 people.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife got off, but it was raining the first day, so neither one of us got off. But the second day we stopped at another place on the very southern end tip of Greenland. And still no trees. But, you know, and we saw icebergs, big icebergs, bigger than our ship. And people say, well, you got to be careful. You know, the Titanic didn't do too well with an iceberg. And, you know, these seemed tame to us, and it was nice weather. We had perfect weather for that cruise, smooth sailing, which I understand is not real common. A lot of times it gets kind of rough up there.
Yeah.
But, and then from there we came back to St. John's, Newfoundland. It's not Newfoundland, it's Newfoundland. We were told ahead of time, you always pronounce land at the end. It's Newfoundland or Newfoundland. Either okay. one is acceptable, but locals,
not Newfoundland.
Not Newfoundland. And beautiful city.
Right.
Just a beautiful city if you've never been there. And Labrador and Newfoundland have now merged, so it's now Newfoundland Labrador.
Okay.
I just love that there's a place called Labrador.
Yeah.
Is that where the Labrador Retriever comes from?
Probably.
Like the dog?
To Google it. Just yeah.
I wanted to take an Icelandic cruise.
I've not done Iceland, but I'd like to do that too.
Iceland's we were supposed to go in 2020.
You've got a personal stake in this. This is yes. a vendetta at this point.
Yes, we're going one way or another. We're going, and you can imagine what happened in 2020.
Oh, I know, because we had a lot of cruises canceled ourselves.
Yeah, well, we weren't. This is before I discovered cruising, but we had our Airbnb booked, we had our flights booked, and then they're like, "No, we're going to cancel your flights, and you can't go, and we don't want your cooties."
Been there, done that.
So.
But when it started opening up, I guess, in 2021, in the late summer of 2021, we took a cruise to Alaska. And we've been up there several times. And it worked out well, but everybody on the ship had masks on, and everybody was getting tested all the time mm-hmm. and so forth. But that's all gone now.
That's gone, yeah. We didn't get tested. We didn't wear them. I have decided I'm wearing masks in the airport, period, except to eat or drink. Because all the recycled air. But that's just my personal preference.
Yeah, I didn't do any masking at all. We had masks with us in case we had to do it.
Yeah.
Some places might have required it. But we didn't run any of that here in the last couple of years.
So do you do a lot of like travel credit card points?
Yes.
Travel that way?
Yes. My wife usually pays for all the cruises on one of her cards, and she gets points. And then I'll write her a check for my half of it. And I always buy most of my stuff on American Express, which gives me miles on Delta. So we get a lot of our airlines free.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd built up hundreds of thousands of miles when I was working years ago and just slowly chewing those down.
Yeah.
And still adding to them a little bit, though, with the Amex card. So, yes, we do take advantage of all premiums from credit cards.
Do you have what do you think is the best travel credit card?
Well, up until about a year ago, I was a big fan of Capital One, but they did something to me last fall that is unforgivable. We had gone on a cruise, and I'd parked my car at an airport up in Cincinnati in one of those outlots.
Mm-hmm.
It was $11 a day, and we were gone for 8 days. And I get back, and it's like 12:30 in the morning, and go to get my car out, and the gate wouldn't go up to let me out, and there's nobody there. you put your credit card in the machine, it's supposed to read it and open the gate, and mm-hmm. off you go. Well, mine wouldn't, it wouldn't open up for me. So I pushed a little help button, ended up talking to somebody in Swaziland or India or someplace, couldn't understand what was going on, couldn't help me.
Yeah.
Finally suggested that I go get in the other lane and try to check out in the other lane. There was two lanes. So I go over the other lane, put my card in, gate goes right up. So I pull out. Well, I got charged twice. I got two $88 charges. So I called them up. They said, nope, you're going to pay both of them. That's the parking lot company. So then I called Capital One and said, hey, I got double billed on this. And they said, yeah, we see that, both at the same time. And I said, yeah, how can I park two cars at the same place at the same time and come out, you know, at 12:30 in the morning?
Yeah.
And they said, yeah, we'll take care of it. Well, this went on for about 3 or 4 months. Finally, they sent me a letter from Capital One, says, you're going to pay both of them or else. So I had to pay the other charge or else my credit rating would have been 86.
Yeah.
And my brother's an attorney. And I says, what options do I have? He says, pay it. He says, it's going to cost you more to fight it. So I just ended up paying the 88 twice. And I don't use Capital One anymore.
Okay. Understand.
And they had a good cashback deal going, too.
Yeah.
But and I just cashed in the miles I had at the cash I had at the time, and which was about $800, and just cashed that out, and I haven't used that card since.
Understand. And we have a Capital One card, but, you know, we did book our flights to Miami. We booked our cruise on the bonus points
mm-hmm.
when we first got it. And it was like $300. After all the points and stuff, it was only like $300 for both of us. Round trip, so
yeah, you can find deals.
No, not at all. And it wasn't like Frontier or Allegiant, it was American Airlines. So
yeah, you get deals on the major airlines sometimes, but sometimes you gotta shop around and check fares out of Lexington and Cincinnati because they can be wildly different.
Yes.
Wildly
Allegiant
different.
Bad, that's the only place I've ever flown out of.
Allegiant, I've flown Allegiant. It's okay, but their schedule is limited, and they mm-hmm. don't fly every okay. day. And, mm-hmm. you know, if you miss your flight, you got to wait 2 days to get another one. it's been crazy
yes.
with them. But I have flown Allegiant, and, you know, the service I've always had with them has been fine.
Yeah. Allegiant's okay. fine. It's just they nickel and dime you to death.
Yeah, too. You want a Coke? That'll be $3, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. If you don't need anything, you know, it's a good, cheap way to fly.
Right.
And another little tip, with the Amex Delta card, you get 2 free bags checked.
Oh, okay.
And that's like $100. Because I think they're charging about $30 or $50 a bag anymore.
That sounds right. I'm a carry-on girl, strictly.
So, and Southwest still has free baggage, but they don't fly into Lexington, but they do fly out of Cincinnati and Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just things that we take advantage of when we can. And the free luggage thing with the Delta card has been very nice for both my wife and myself. We both have Amex cards from Delta.
That's cool. That's a lot of fun. So anything else that you'd like to add? Anything I missed?
No, just shop for the deals. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to do this. And like I said, my wife's always getting emails from all these places and deals with, you know, airfare reductions and special deals on onboard credits. That's another thing to look for. You know, sign up for this cruise this week and you get $300 onboard credit. That means you got $300 to spend on the ship,
mm-hmm.
you know, just like cash. So, you know, deals like that, you got to balance it all out and, you know, just have fun.
Can you think of anything, Kayla?
No, I do love a good deal. So that's pretty great to hear that they're just out there.
Yes.
You just have to look for them. And it does help. The more you cruise, the more deals you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And we've stayed with Princess because they've been awful good to us.
Yeah. That's fun, though.
And the people on Princess are a little bit more mature for the most part. A little funny story here. We were on a spring break. We will never cruise on a spring break again. We were on a Caribbean cruise on Princess. And it was going out of Port Everglades, the usual Caribbean islands. And we get on this ship, and it's all filled with college kids.
Mm-hmm.
And usually Princess is more the 50 and up crowd,
mm-hmm.
which suits my wife and I perfectly. I mean, you have people in the 30s and 40s, too, but it's primarily older people and seniors. And we got on this ship, and there's all these college kids, and they were just carrying on and partying. And the reason we had so many on our ship is because they had all booked a carnival cruise, which is known as the party boat.
Yep.
And the carnival cruises were filled up. Well, Princess and Carnival are owned by the same company, so they put all the overflow on our ship.
Okay.
Oh, no.
And it was terrible. Waking up at 7 o'clock in the morning and seeing all these drunk college kids laying all over the ship. I mean, literally, around the pool, and they'd been drinking all night. It was disgusting, to be honest with you. But if you're a college kid, go for it, because when I was young, I probably did all that stuff, too.
Yeah. Well, we're going on Carnival in July, but I'm not.
You shouldn't have the Spring Breakers with you.
No.
May the force be with you, dear.
I know it's a party ship, but like it was the best deal, and I want to try it out because the Icelandic cruise I'm looking at for 2025 is also on Carnival, but it leaves out of London. So I wanted to test it out, see how I liked it. And I've looked on TikTok and stuff at people like, oh, Carnival's, you know, ghetto, it's the Walmart of the seas. But I looked on TikTok, and it looks fine to me. Like, it looks clean and nice.
I know a lot of people that go Carnival, and, you know, they just know what they're getting into.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to have as much trouble in the summertime as you would at spring break time.
Sure.
And these kids, they just, you know, get on there and just carry on and around the clock.
Yeah. I understand. But, well, thank you for being on.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate it. Appreciate your time. And we'll see you next week. Make sure to like, subscribe, follow us on Insta at Bubbles Brunchcast and on TikTok at Bubbles Brunchcast. Hit us up for any questions, comments, concerns, corrections, topic suggestions, bubblesbrunchcast@gmail.com. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Well, that was the last call for this episode of the Bubbles Brunchcast. Please subscribe and tune in next time. We will be serving it up all over again. Enjoy your week.